It is 22 minutes after the hour. It's a Tuesday morning. Don Clark, Dr. Don Clark, joins us from Garden Valley, Texas. Don is a biochemist, a member of the Board of Creation Moments, and a good friend of this. Don, do you realize we've been doing this for almost 9 years? Next month is our 9-year anniversary.
Yeah, that's hard to believe. The time has certainly gone by fast.
Do you feel older now, do you think, than when we started?
Oh, I'm very old. Yeah. I mean, it's I was a young punk back then.
Yes. Yeah. We talk about I wonder how many fewer telomeres you have in your system now than you had back then, huh?
Oh, gee whiz. Yeah, it's quite a few less.
That, for those of you who are the uninitiated, that has to do with DNA. And we talk about DNA and the age of dinosaurs and the biblical story of creation. And a couple of months ago now, we simply just, Don, you're an expert in Genesis. Let's start with Genesis 1:1. And it's taken us this long to get to Genesis 11 because Don has shown us how much information is packed into every word, every verse of Genesis. And if you just read it casually, like, oh, yeah, I know all this, I've heard all this, okay, you miss an incredible amount of information. And we have wended, is that what, we wended our way? We is that past tense of wend? We wound our way. On our way to chapter 11, Tower of Babel and the Plain of Shinar. And you've done some research about where these places are located, because when most of us read Genesis, we have no idea. I think we have a general idea that this is the Middle East, the cradle of civilization, maybe Turkey, maybe Iran, maybe Iraq. Where are these places, Babel? And by the way, David, we're getting a lot of noise off your mic there. If you'd cut that off, please. Okay. All right. Thank you. And Don, where's Babel or Babel?
It's okay. Babel. Babel. Mm-hmm. Babel.
Okay. Okay. Oh, that's right.
So that's a interesting and good question, because we talked about it a little bit, but I don't think we settled the issue the last time we talked about it.
Mm.
So we're going to try to do that today.
Well, let me ask you about the name. Now, I think that almost all the names have a meaning in the Bible. El typically refers to God. Is that the case in Babel?
Well, Babel, yes, El typically refers to God, but Babel actually means confusion, or to confound, if you will. And so that's different from Babel, or Babylon, which is the city of the gods.
Hmm.
And so there is a distinction between the two, although the word in your Bible, some translations translate Babel, B-A-B-E-L, as Babylon, and other translations just translate it Babel, B-A-B-E-L. But there was another place called Babel, B-A-B-I-L, which then became Babylon, which is the true location of Babylon, which we know of and we've heard of, and Nebuchadnezzar,
south of Baghdad is Babylon, right? Yeah.
Yes. So we know where Babylon is. The question is, do we know where Babel is? And Babel, B-A-B-E-L, in the Plain of Shinar, more importantly. And it turns out to be a little bit more complicated question than one might think. And the importance of this question is because that's where people settled after they came out of the ark. And so we know that there were, eight folks that went into the ark. The ark rested in the mountains of Ararat, which Turkey, Iran, in the mountains over there. And then the next thing we know, they come out. And then they're settling in the Plain of Shinar.
What kind of a timeline are, how many years from the time the flood ended and they egressed the ark to the Tower of Babel? So how many years did they have to spread over that land area?
Well, we don't know that, for certain, because it's, we don't have necessarily any time marks. And so it had to be relatively soon. Now, there were a bunch of people, even at that time at the Tower of Babel, because there were three major cities that were like a triangle around the Babel, which was in the center of those three. And so if we could find those cities, then we could find the location of Babel. And that's indeed what one researcher has done. But it probably maybe was within 100, maybe 200 years. And so post-flood, now, a lot of things are going on, as we've talked about before, post-flood and even during the flood. Obviously, we had all the earth was covered with water, and then, the waters got created the great valleys where the waters subsided to, but not all the water had subsided from the earth by that time. And we know that Babel, as well as Babylon, is in Mesopotamia, and we often think Mesopotamia, the Fertile Crescent in that area was pretty dry after the flood, but it wasn't. You had a northern Mesopotamia, which was dry, but then you had a southern Mesopotamia, which Babylon is located in, the southern Mesopotamia, that was actually underwater. And the reason why we know that is because there is a ancient shoreline that is kind of midway between where Babylon is and the northern Mesopotamia, where we think that Babel actually was in the plain of Shinar. And so that's one reason to say that, okay, the two are different. They do have different names. The names do have different meanings, and so they're probably not the same location. But then you're left with, okay, where in the world is this? And if you looked at a map of that Mesopotamia area where you had Babylon and those things on your map, and let me just put a picture of the map in
We're talking Iraq, Iran, the Persian Gulf coming up from the south, and just north of that is the old site of Babylon, and a little farther north is Baghdad, and off to the northeast would be a much larger country that we call Iran. All that comprised Mesopotamia.
Right, yeah. So all of that is Mesopotamia, and folks used to think that, okay, that's the heart of, that's the seat of civilization, until they did their, okay, there you go. That's one map. So that's the map that I'm looking at, and you can probably post that in the discussion.
Yeah, I think I'll put that in our chat window, put a link to it here.
So that dotted line in the map is actually the shoreline, mm-hmm. if you will, of an ancient ocean that was there, and obviously it's covering Babylon because mm-hmm. Babylon is marked on the map, and so you could clearly see that if indeed the shoreline was there at the time when Babel and the plain of Shinar was being populated.
Don, could you put the link in the window instead of the map itself? That way I can get it in the chat window. I can't do it with just the photo.
Okay.
Is that possible?
I don't have a link. I just have the just have the photo.
Yeah. Okay.
I just have the photo. I got it a long time ago, so okay. It's
all right. Well, I can't get that to the chat window, so we'll just go on then.
But if people have a map of of the Mesopotamia area that has Babylon and Baghdad, they can find the city that I'm referring to.
Okay,
here.
And I'll see if I can
Samarra. Samarra is one of the cities that's off of the Tigris River, and then there's a Hit. I guess it's Hit. I can't really read it. I think it's HIT, Hit, which is another one off the Euphrates River, and so that there's a dotted line almost connecting them, and that is where the seashore was. Mm-hmm. So it's quite a bit north of Babylon. And so we have to wonder, all right, if that's where the river, I mean, that denotes the shoreline, then the early civilization had to be north of that. And we know Nineveh is north of that on the Tigris River. And, of course, Nineveh we know from Job the Job, not Job. What was his name? He goes to Nineveh. He was asked to go to Nineveh. I'm losing it this morning.
Okay.
At any rate, that city was obviously populated, not long after the Plain of Shinar. So let's get to the Plain of Shinar then. And that seems to be, more importantly, up further near what is today. There is if you look on that map, you'll see a town called Tel Bek, Tel Brek is a town is a city that is in actually a fertile area and which was at the time a lot of tributaries coming off the mountains there and heading north as opposed to heading south, and Tel Brek is one of the cities that they think was one of the four cities mentioned in Genesis chapter 10, where Babel is mentioned.
By the way, I've now put a link in the chat window of BrokenRoadRadio.com. It's not the best map, but it's several of the ancient Mesopotamian empires, and you can get some idea there. Don, I think... And I know I've read something about how important satellite photography has been to locating these places. And in fact, the one story I can relate is people have been searching forever for where the Garden of Eden might have been. As described in Genesis and the four rivers with the headwaters there, satellite imagery has indicated that that point is probably now in the water, the northern part of the Persian Gulf. And you mentioned that at one point, apparently, the Persian Gulf stretched much farther north than it is now. After the flood. And so it would have receded since the flood back to where it is now, but not far enough to reveal where the Garden of Eden was. But again, it was satellite imagery that revealed the old riverbeds that used to be there. And they would have flowed north, too, which is not expected these days. So it suggests a very different topography.
Oh, very, very different. So what was there before the flood was completely changed, obviously, by the flood and the cataclysm that happened during the flood, part of which was breaking up of the continents, which we've talked about before, and that causing a tremendous amount of volcanic activity, which then ushered in the Ice Age, and we've talked about that before. So all of this activity is taking place when people are settled here in this valley. This valley then has even today has three cities which are very much could be the three cities that were made up the triangle around which the Tower of Babel was located. And one of them was the Tel Brek, the other one was the Tel Akba, A-Q-A-B. Another one that was Tel Halef, so those general areas of the cities, and there's been some excavation to say that, hey, this is a very ancient city, so there's some reason to believe that those might have been the early ancient cities that were talked about. Let me see if I can find it.
And of course, the word Tel refers to a mound. I mean, it's just a hint that there was a city there, because it's a bump in the topography. And that's where that's a magnet for archaeologists and researchers of all kinds. Yeah.
So if that's indeed where it was, then that is not in Genesis 10, the beginning of his kingdom, and we're talking about Nimrod. This is 10:10. The beginning of his kingdom was Babel, Erech, Akkad, Calneh in the land of Shinar. So that gives us the general location. So if we could find those other cities, then we have a good handle as to where the Tower of Babel was in the general sense. And it seems like these three cities that I just named are near, if not at, those three cities. And so the Tower of Babel would be in between. Well, that is not on the Tigris or the Euphrates River, but it's further north in Syria. Now that area is arid. So before, when the ocean front or a beach, if you will, was further north away from the Persian Gulf, but further north above where the Tower of Babylon is, this area would have been wet. And then, as the climate was changing and the waters were continuing to recede, this area actually became much more arid. And people had to leave this area, interestingly enough. And then they probably migrated south to a climate that, where the water source was, which was the Tigris and Euphrates River. And so towns and villages and things popped up around those areas. And because that area was underwater, it was fertile, and crops grew easily, and so the population kind of expanded from that area. So, but the heart, or the seed, if you will, of civilization post-flood was in the upper area, in the northern Mesopotamia, more than likely, in this area, you know, that I described, in the kind of a triangular area that was not off of the either of the Tigris or the Euphrates River, but was more north in the Syria area. So when people are looking for the first evidence of civilizations, they should look in that area. They shouldn't be looking in Africa. Africa, you know, is a evolution. Because of evolutionary thinking, we think that man came from apes. So we are looking for an ape man. Then you get Australopithecus and these other findings and Lucy and all this other stuff. And, oh, look, we found them in Africa. So therefore, the seed of civilization has to have been in Africa, because that's where we evolved from and all this other stuff. Well, no, people migrated, you know, after the Tower of Babel, and God confused the languages. Everybody everybody migrated from that region, which I'm suggesting and others are suggesting was in in Syria, in the northern Mesopotamia, and they either went south to the southern Mesopotamia region, where, you know, of course, the seat of the empire of Babylon was, or they headed, you know, they headed in various directions after that, as the climate allowed. Now, if you went north, obviously, and if you go into into Europe from there, Europe would have been still experiencing an ice age type of thing. And so that took much longer to recede, and much longer, you know, if this was around, let's say, 100 or a couple of hundred years after the flood, probably 100 years or so, then the ice age is, or the ice that formed after the flood, that would have dissipated probably. Now,
let me suggest something later. Here, Africa turns out as a major distraction to what really happened. And I think we've established that in our many conversations about evolution and how data is gathered and then wrong assumptions are made concerning that data. But given this location in northern Mesopotamia, and Genesis tells us that it was God confusing the languages that caused the people to spread apart and do what God had ordered, which is to cover the earth and to multiply, there must have been other factors other than language, for example, climate change, because that's a prime mover in people groups all through the history of man, searching for survival and the introduction of agriculture and all kinds of other factors. There's a book out called Guns, Germs, and Steel. It was a guy named Diamond wrote it. He's a sociologist and a researcher, won a Pulitzer Prize for it. And he maintains that the people groups that moved east and west had a much better chance of surviving than the people groups that moved north and south, because north and south, climate changes with the distance from the equator, and so do crops. And so in the long run, people who go east and west, I'm just thinking of northern Mesopotamia and what's around it. And you mentioned that Europe was maybe not as settled as Mesopotamia was climatologically at the time. Might have taken a while to head north in particular. And do you suspect that people moved more quickly east and west, or maybe south? But then that's a different agricultural climate, too. What do you think?
Right. Well, all of this was changing. All mm-hmm. of this was changing. So if this valley, or if this plain, the plain of Shinar, if that was drying up as the waters were receding, and why would the waters recede? Well, we know that the valleys were being formed in the oceans, but at the same time, more and more snow is being dumped in the northern climates and southern hemisphere because of the ice age that was going on. And so that caused waters to recede as well. And so you had all of this going on until a more equilibrium took place, in which case, you know, things kind of settled down. But it took quite a while after the flood for that to happen. So what was once a wet and fertile area then becomes arid, and that drives people looking for water. In this case, there was the Tigris and Euphrates River, and the waters were receding down south in Mesopotamia. So that's where they wound up after this area that in Syria or northern Mesopotamia, where they came from. And then they started to spread eastward and you know, westward, and started to populate various areas around the earth, you know, from there. But all of this took a while because, you know, even what we consider, you know, the Neanderthal man, the only thing about Neanderthal man is that they're old people. They're older than what we get today. And so we called them Neanderthal. We say, oh, you see, they look like apes. Well, you know, as you get older, your brow on your forehead gets thicker and thicker. The bones start, you know, get thicker. And you look, if you will, more ape-like as we get older. So these people, you know, it wasn't that long after the flood, and I don't know how long, you know, the Neanderthals migrated or those people migrated north, you know, up into Germany and that, what we call Germany today. But we do know that those were part of the descendants from Japheth. So we do have a general concept as to where the descendants of Ham, where the descendants of Japheth, and where the descendants of Seth wound up. And Ham obviously went over to the African continent and Egypt and that area, as well as far as Asia. So they were migrating various places, but the descendants of Japheth went north for the most part. And so it's an interesting study. One could probably spend a lifetime looking at this from a biblical perspective and from a, you know, an anthropological perspective, if you will. And people have, and but to know where the seat of the government or where the seat of civilization is, you got to know where Shinar, the plain of Shinar, is and where Babel was. And it appears to be in northern Mesopotamia as opposed to the south.
Well, that's a help. That's quite a story. And a lot of this information speaks to all those distractions that modern thinkers, even including scientists, have been distracted by. Africa among those distractions. And, well, we're grateful for the story today. And I apologize for the map. I put in the link there. It's not the best, but it was a quick search, and I could find a better one probably. So we'll hope next week to pick up the story. And we're right at the beginning of the birth of Israel here, or the Israelites and Abraham. And he was part of that migration, was he not?
Oh, he was. Yes, absolutely.
We'll learn some more about that next
week.
Yeah,
right. And obviously, he came from Ur, which is even further south than Babylon. So,
Don, thanks. Have a great week. We'll see you next week. Dr. Don Clark. CreationMoments.com, by the way, the website. You might want to check that. There's quite an archive of scientific information that speaks to the biblical creation at CreationMoments.com. And we'll talk to Don again next week.